So I try not to share stories about my kids too often, but they're not here today. No, just kidding. I always ask permission, I promise. But some of y'all have seen before the roof sign that we typically keep on our porch. I don't think it's there today, but we have a sign on the roof, or a sign about the roof, because our roof was damaged in the hurricane. And so it's got a thermometer, you know, you can see the red rising. And we live a block and a half from here. So Moses, my six-year-old, sees that sign at least 6 times a day. So one Monday, every Monday we go on a date before I drop him off for school. We go get some coffee. We just talk about our feelings, you know. It's awesome. And we're leaving our time to hang out. And we drive past the church. And he says, "Mommy, stop." And so we stop in front of the church. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "You see that sign about the roof? I'm going to help." "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, can we go home right now and count my piggy bank?" "Why, Mo?" And he said, "Well, that I need a place to go to church, and that's my church. And so can we go home and count my piggy bank? Because I'm going to give you $2,146. I said, "Sweetheart, I don't think you have $2,146. He said, "Okay, how about $2 million? You know, honey, I would take that too. It was this incredible moment where it was out of the blue. He had this experience. We drove past the church, which we do all the time, but there was something in him that said, "This is important to me, and I want to share what I have." Today, when we've had an encounter with God, we become more generous. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, because you are God and we are not. Amen. Okay, friends, we are in a series called Holy Epiphanies, Light Bulb Moments with God. We've been talking about these stories of where people encounter God and they have something in them that is changed. Throughout the series, we've talked about some characteristics like our God view gets bigger. Our people view flattens, those hierarchies don't matter anymore, that we become more willing to risk. And today, we want to talk about the way that God shapes us to become more generous. What we know is in this story of Zacchaeus, I have no idea why it matters that he's short. I'm sure there's some Greek language thing, but I love this story because it gives some random details. We come to understand in this story of Zacchaeus that he wants to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He wants to see this guy that everybody has been talking about, and so he finds a sycamore tree and climbs the tree to try and get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus walks right up and says, "Zacchaeus, get down. Listen, I'm coming to your house today. I'd like to come and stay at your house." And you can hear the people muttering in the background, "Oh, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner." It's almost like you can hear them muttering under their breath, like quoting Proverbs 22, "Do not exploit the poor or crush the needy in court." You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. That meant he had been deputized by the Roman government to collect taxes, and in their day, he could collect what he owed to Rome, and then he could collect a little more for himself. But you see, he could collect a little more for himself, or a lot more for himself, because nobody was checking. Tax collectors were not beloved in this time. I know, if you work for the IRS, we don't hate you, but I think tax collectors in our day, sometimes we can miss that these were folks who had this incredible opportunity to exploit the poor and the powerless. In the moment when Jesus is on the way to his house, it's almost like Zacchaeus is confronted with the way that he has participated in exploitation. "Lord, I'll give back more than what I've taken, and I'll give half of my possessions to the poor." In the face of Jesus, it's like the scales of exploitation, hoarding things for himself, they fall from Zacchaeus' eyes. "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost,"
Jesus, just walking through the crowd, sees and prioritizes a guy that others don't necessarily like. Out of the crowds, Jesus seeks and saves Zacchaeus. How could he not be generous? If we only read this story, though, we can believe that generosity is a reaction only for the wealthy or only for those who have exploited others. Generosity, in light of an encounter with God, is somehow simply fixing the financial harm you've done or sharing the financial resources you have that are excess. Of course, there were women, in Luke's gospel who supported Jesus financially throughout his ministry. And there are folks all throughout Paul's letters that are financially supporting the work that Paul and Timothy are doing. But that isn't the only biblical generosity that we see throughout Scripture. Ruth gives up her life to care for her mother-in-law, who would otherwise be without rights or care. Joseph, betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery, finds himself in a place of power later down the road, and he's able to keep them alive. This is what Joseph says to his brothers. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, what you intended against me for evil, God intended for good in order to accomplish a day like this, to preserve the lives of many people. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. Joseph reassured his brothers and spoke kindly to them, and cared for their families in generosity when they could not repay him. And then, of course, there's Mary. Mary takes nard, the expensive anointing ointment, dumps it on Jesus' feet. It would have been a year's wages. She dries his feet with her hair, and we hear Judas protest. You know, we could have sold that. We could have given the money to the poor. You see, we live in a world that sees money as the common denominator. The Bible tells us, of course, it can either be the root of all evil or it can be used for extraordinary good, right? That's quite a breath. And while we need money to function, it couldn't possibly capture all the ways that we are called to generosity in light of an encounter with the God of the universe. When people come to understand the bigness of God and the giftedness that they have been recipients of, how could they not be generous?
Amen.
We hear in Leviticus this description. By the way, I love that when Joanne said, it's from Leviticus, everyone was like, okay. We hear in Leviticus this description of the Jubilee year. It's this year, it's the Sabbath of Sabbaths, this pattern in which people who were down on their luck got to be restored. It was like a reset button, a start over. I need one of those sometimes. People who had sold themselves to their neighbor because they couldn't afford to live anymore could be free. The land got to rest. The poor were supported. All those who had felt down on their luck, they had a glimpse of new hope. Some folks ask, what if we practice this now? And as you read the rest of Leviticus 25, it's got all these things about if you live inside of a walled city, you can keep your house, but if you live outside of a walled city, it's basically just land that's going to be returned. Some of us might be kind of sad at that, right? And there have been some proposals that people actually, that the Israelites never actually practiced this. But I want you to hear in 1 Maccabees 6, this. They made peace with the people of Syria and they evacuated the city because they had no food there to enable them to withstand a siege, because that was the Sabbath year of the land. Did they practice it perfectly? No, we don't have a lot of accounts for that. But were there people who understood the capacity of practicing this new kind of generosity? Also, of course, there are things that are different in our context, right? Things that we would be appalled by. It talks about the treatment of enslaved people. But I want us to hear the way in which this gives us a broad picture of generosity that's different than sometimes we can imagine. This is a radical declaration of holistic generosity and community care. If you walked into Congress today and proposed anything like this, they might finally agree on something. That you're crazy. We can't do this. Have everybody sharing. Have everybody return forgiving debts. Returning land. Not exploiting. Think with me for a minute about what this image communicates about God to these ancient people. They are scared on every side of being invaded or squashed, exiled, famined, impoverished, abandoned. This God is telling them, I care about the sojourner and the soil. I care about the stars and your breakfast. I care about the needs of the powerful and the utterly powerless. God calls here for rest and restoration, for return of the land, and a return to trusting God's ways, even when it feels preposterous. In light of the God of the universe who created all of this, the air that we breathe, the land that we grow our food in, the neighbor we love and the enemy that we don't, how could we not be generous? I think this is an important moment to point out that these marks of a theophany, this is what we've been talking about, a theophany is an encounter with God. We've said theophanies lead to epiphanies. An encounter with God leads to this opportunity to change our hearts and our world. But these marks of what happens after we've encountered God are not necessarily inevitable. We may have gotten the impression from previous stories that these changes that happen in us after an encounter with God just kind of magically appear. You know, I wake up and I'm just a holier person. You see God? Boom, we're done. But consider all the saints you know and the saints that you are. It's possible for us to have an epiphany. Yeesh, I need to be exercising more. Without making any meaningful changes in my world. It's possible for us to have an encounter with God. Hey, go forgive your neighbor. And for us to decide, no thanks, I'm busy today. It's possible for us to be presented with a different way and decide, you know what, that's just too hard. Consider the rich man that encounters Jesus. He shows up and he says, look at all these things I've done. How can I be a part of the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, sell everything that you own and give it to the poor. The scripture says, he went away sad. He couldn't do it. You see, grace is resistible. God is not a tyrant. We can encounter God. We can be inspired by God. We can be utterly awestruck without deciding to participate in anything that God has invited us to. Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Peter, James, John, Mary, Saul, they could have said no. Why would they? I'm not sure. Why do we? I'm not sure either. In light of the God of creation, the God of the ancient Hebrews, and the God who cares about every ounce of soil, every hair on our heads, and who cries every tear with us, how could we not be generous? How could we not lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things? How could we not welcome the stranger, share our stuff, serve the powerless? How could we not? There was a saint among us named Reggie. Reggie lived on the church steps for almost 2 years before getting housed. He watched out for me when I went to and from my car. He made up gospel songs when you weren't, if he didn't think anybody was around, he was making up his own gospel songs, singing to the Lord. Reggie helped carry things. He was a prayer warrior. And one day, Reggie finally decided to come inside. He got baptized in this congregation in 2021. And he was so grateful to God and to the church. He started coming into my office every day, saying, "All right, what can I do to help today?" And I was like, "Reggie, thank you, man. You're already helping. I think we're good." One day, he was kind of agitated at me. He said, "Megan, this is God's house and my church family. Of course I have to serve. Jesus took away my sins. The least I could do is take away the trash." How could he not be generous? Friends, in light of the God of the universe, who gives, who loves, who cares, and in light of a community who walks alongside you on days when you feel like you deserve it and days when you don't, how could we not be generous? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.